So Psalm 16, a psalm of David. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another God shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lions have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life, and in your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
So this is what we read from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking said, they are filled with new wine. So I'll continue the reading from verse 14 and we'll read through to verse 41. So we've had the pouring out of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And what I want to major on really is probably what's going to come next from verse 14 onwards. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. So keep your Bible open at Acts chapter 2. Just a bit of background. I don't know whether or not there's people just walked in off the street here this evening, okay? You may all be Christians, you may all know God's word, you may have had this preached to you last week, I really don't know, of course, but let's just think briefly that there's three main festivals, isn't there? There's three main times of celebration in the Christian Christian calendar. Christmas, of course, yes, yeah, everybody knows what Christmas is all about, when we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's Easter, when we remember and we celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus, of course. And then there's Pentecost, when we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Christ's fledgling church. Now, last week, we celebrated Pentecost, the birthday of the church. Now, if we did a poll, if we went out in the streets, and if you asked people what was celebrated at Christmas, I'm sure that most of them would know, yes, yes, Christmas is something to do with the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in our ever-increasing secular society, you know, some schools at least, and of course churches, we still have our nativity plays, don't we, yeah? Where the birth of Jesus is celebrated. So people know what Christmas is about. Christians know what Christmas is about. With regards to Easter, I'm sure a good number of people would also know what the significance of Easter is too. But when it comes to Pentecost, how many people have a clue what that's all about? If you went out in the streets and said, "Tell me what Pentecost is about," would they have a clue what Pentecost is about? Of course, a greater concern is within the church. If you ask Christians what is Pentecost about, would they understand what Pentecost was? You see, the same way that if we didn't have Christmas or we didn't have Easter, we wouldn't be here tonight, would we, yeah? If there was no Pentecost, again, we wouldn't be sitting here tonight. No Pentecost, there'd be no church. And of course, that applies to Christmas and Easter too. Pentecost is the birthday of the church. Did you sing happy birthday to yourselves last week? Yes, did you do that? Over at Stavern Lodge, as I mentioned earlier on, first thing we did, there was a 16-year-old lad with us, and it was his birthday. So we sang happy birthday to James, and we sang happy birthday to ourselves as the church. Because it's Pentecost. And it's a time to celebrate, isn't it? The birthday of the church. What I want to do this evening is remind us of the events of Pentecost and some of the significance of it. It's a big subject, isn't it? But also I want us, hopefully, in a devotional sense, in a simple way, to just rejoice and be blessed in the goodness of God towards his church. Now, I apologize if something of what I share with you tonight you've already heard. I don't know who was preaching last week. If Pentecost was preached on, apologies if I'm duplicating things for you, but that's not necessarily a bad thing, is it? Pentecost is a big subject, and it's an important subject. And the angle that I take on tonight, some of the things I share tonight, what God has put on my heart, might be a little bit different to what you've already heard, and you can chat about me, chat to me about that later, can't you? But that's what we want to do. The times we've got left, we want to consider Pentecost. As I've mentioned, Pentecost was a time when God poured out the Holy Spirit on his fledgling church. A bit of background information, yeah. This event that we call Pentecost took place during one of the many Jewish festivals or feasts. Pentecost took place during the festival of harvest or first fruits. Okay, remember, just think about that. I'll come back to that. I'm sure that we've all heard, if we're Christians here, I'm sure that we've all heard of the festival of Passover, yeah? We know what Passover is about. When the Jews remembered and celebrated their salvation from slavery in Egypt. Just to remind people about that. The final plague that God sent upon Pharaoh and the Egyptians, it was the death of the firstborn son. When God sent the angel of death into Egypt and the firstborn sons, they were all killed, weren't they, yeah? Remember from Exodus chapter 12. Unless the doorpost and the lintels of the houses where the sons lived were covered with the blood of a lamb. The Jewish families, yeah, their houses, their firstborns were spared. The blood was a sign on that door, on that lintel, that it was a Jewish family living there. And so the angel of death passed over. And that's where the expression comes from. And the firstborn sons were spared. Now that's a simplification of the significance of Passover, Exodus chapter 11 and 12. And of course, in the events of Passover, we see a connection to the death of Jesus upon the cross, because Jesus, of course, was crucified at Passover. So why have I mentioned the festival of Passover? Well, from the Jewish festival of Passover to the Jewish festival of harvest, or first fruits, was 50 days. And that's where the significance comes in. You can read about that. If you're taking notes, you can jot down Exodus 23, 16. Leviticus 23, verses 15 and 16, and Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 9. They're all references to this 7 weeks, this 50 days between Passover and the festival of harvest. And so, of course, what that means is that consequently, the events of the cross and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we call it Easter, yeah? That was 50 days until Pentecost. Pentecost means the 50th day. Who knew all that? Yeah, you probably know all that anyway, yeah? But that's some background information, isn't it? So the Jews celebrated the festival of harvest or first fruits in Jerusalem 50 days after Passover. And it's during this Jewish festival that God poured out the Holy Spirit. And the church is born. And Pentecost is inaugurated, and we celebrate it every year now, don't we? Like we celebrate Christmas and Easter. Now, the word Pentecost, again, if you want to take a note, it's found 3 times in the Bible. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, Acts chapter 20, verse 16, and 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 8. 3 times the word Pentecost is used in the Bible. There's some background. Let's briefly look at the events of Pentecost here. As we've read from God's word, Acts chapter 2, Jerusalem was buzzing with people from all over the place as they gathered to celebrate the festival of harvest. And it was then that God sent the Holy Spirit. Now again, if you're familiar with your Bibles, you go to the end of Acts chapter 1. And we read there that the apostles elected a new apostle to take the place of Judas, Matthias. And they're all there together in one place. waiting because Jesus had promised that he was going to send the Holy Spirit. And they're waiting there. And then we go into Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rest on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. We read of these amazing signs that accompanied the coming of the Holy Spirit in those first four verses. And then we read, don't we, in Acts chapter 2, verses 5 to 13, that all these other people that are read out, all those different nationalities from various places, they begin to understand each other. People speaking in different languages, and they all understand each other. And of course, this is a reversal of the Tower of Babel, isn't it, yeah? Where God came down and confused all the languages. And this is just one of the significances of Pentecost. Now, we're thinking about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, yeah? So just in case anybody wandered in off the street and they don't know who the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit is, well, let's think a little bit about the Holy Spirit. Let's remind ourselves of who the Holy Spirit is. You see, God has revealed himself in the Bible, hasn't he? God has revealed himself as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, as we call it. And if I can put it like this, the Holy Spirit, we refer to him as a person. He's a he, just like the Father and Son are persons. The Holy Spirit isn't some kind of spiritual force, like in Star Wars, you know, floating around in the ether. Some cults believe that, don't they, about the Holy Spirit? God the Holy Spirit is a person. He is the one who comes to live in every true believer in Jesus Christ. All true followers of Jesus, they receive the Holy Spirit as a seal that their faith is genuine. And Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 and Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30 talk about being sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. All true believers in Christ are baptized in or with or by the Holy Spirit. We read about that in Acts chapter 11, verses 15 to 17 and 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 13. The Bible teaches that you cannot be a true Christian without the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, do not belong to Christ. Romans 8, 9, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. It is the Holy Spirit who brings conviction of sin and repentance and faith towards Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. It is the Holy Spirit who equips Christians to serve God and serve his church by giving spiritual gifts. And it is only through the indwelling power and presence of the Holy Spirit that Christians can live holy lives that bring glory to God. Dear Christian friends, without the Holy Spirit within us, without the Holy Spirit in our churches, we can do nothing of any spiritual worth. We need God's Holy Spirit. And God poured out the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And of course, it's the God the Holy Spirit who is the author of Scripture, and I'll make reference to that later. So now we know briefly a little bit about the role, the person of the Holy Spirit who God poured out at Pentecost. Not what is the Holy Spirit, but who is the Holy Spirit. Let's think further about Pentecost. Pentecost was a fulfillment of prophecy, and it was the fulfillment of a promise. As we've read, God had promised that one day his Spirit would be poured out on all true believers and followers. We read from the scriptures, Acts chapter 2, verses 16 to 18. Peter stands up to preach and he says, "No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. This was a prophecy found in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 28 to 32. You'll see that as a footnote in your Bible. And of course, Jesus said as well that he would send the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of Christ. Jesus spoke of this whilst he was in the upper room, literally hours before he went to the cross. We read in John 15, 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. The Greek word used by John for the Holy Spirit is parakletos, which means advocate or helper or comforter. The NIV version of the Bible says, when the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. The Holy Spirit carries the meaning of someone who comes alongside to help us. God, Jesus, through his Spirit, was going to come and live with each of his people, his church. And this was the promise of Jesus, the comforter, the advocate, the helper, the parakletos was going to come to aid us in our Christian lives. As I said, it's impossible to live a true Christian life without the Holy Spirit, without the helper. As Jesus also said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. This was the promise of Jesus before Pentecost, that he would send his Spirit. And it is only through the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit that we could live for Jesus, the power to fight against sin. How do we fight against sin? It is only through the power of the Holy Spirit. How do we have the power to live for Jesus? How do we have the power to love our enemies? It can only come through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. How do we have the power to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ? It is through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the significance, part of the significance of Pentecost. God's Spirit is poured out into true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're Christians here tonight, then we are amongst that number, aren't we? Yeah. And we should say, praise the Lord, that we have his Spirit within us. Let me mention or remind you gathered here tonight that up until Pentecost, you know, the average believer in God did not have God's Spirit. The Holy Spirit was only given to certain people for a certain time, for a certain reason. During the Old Covenant, we read in the Old Testament, yeah, that God would give his Spirit to prophets and to kings, for instance. Those who were God's messengers, those who were given special tasks by God. And God gave them his Spirit to equip them to serve him and to speak for him. If you want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, again, Peter writes his letters later on in his ministry after Pentecost, of course. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, this is what Peter writes. He says, concerning this salvation, he's just been talking about the glorious salvation that we have as Christians. And he says, concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. The prophets had Christ's Spirit in them for a reason, for a season. Peter also writes, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 to 21. I'm sure these verses will be well known to many of us here tonight. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along, as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. As I mentioned, the Holy Spirit is the author of Scripture. And this was the way that the Holy Spirit worked during the Old Covenant. But as I've said, God's intention was to give all believers, all servants, his Holy Spirit, as promised through the prophet Joel. So 2,000 years ago, at Pentecost, the church was born. When God the Holy Spirit came to live in all true believers in the Lord Jesus. And as Jesus promised, they received power to be witnesses of Jesus. Peter, he received power through the Holy Spirit at Pentecost to stand up and preach the gospel. Acts chapter 2, that first gospel sermon preached. Now, one of the things that I have to be reminded of, and we must remember, is that when Peter stood up at Pentecost to preach the gospel, he didn't have the New Testament there. He didn't have the whole canon of scripture like we have. When Peter stood up to preach the gospel, he had to preach the gospel from the Old Testament scriptures, because there were no New Testament scriptures. The first New Testament book is thought to be the book of James, which came around AD 50, and the gospels didn't arrive until the midnight AD 60s yet. And of course, we know it took literally centuries before we had the canon of scripture that we read today, for that to be formed. So remember, when we read the New Testament, in the New Testament of the apostles preaching and teaching the gospel in the book of Acts, it was from the Old Testament that they were preaching the scriptures, yeah. And so as we read from Acts chapter 2, when Peter stood up to preach that first great gospel sermon, where did he preach the gospel from? From the Old Testament. Now we've read out Psalm 16. And Psalm 16 is one of my favourite psalms. I could preach a sermon on Psalm 16. It is wonderful. So Peter takes this wonderful psalm of David, Psalm 16, written 3,000 years ago to us, 1,000 years before Pentecost. And he applies what King David writes to Jesus Christ. You know, I think Peter must have had a good knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures, yeah. Peter gets a bad press, doesn't he, sometimes, yeah. But he must have known his Old Testament scriptures because he's preaching from them here at Pentecost. And he takes the words of David from Psalm 16. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, or to the grave, or to Sheol. You will not let your Holy One see decay. These words written by King David 1,000 years before Pentecost. And then Peter takes these words and he applies them to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. King David was given God's Spirit so that he could write such amazing prophecy. Many of his psalms that David wrote are prophecy. You think of Psalm 22, for instance. An amazing prophecy about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Me and Bernie, we were reading in our devotions the other day, and we're reading a book by Roger Hitchens about growing old, all right? So, and it's a good book. It's a good book, devotional book, about how you sort of can be used of the Lord. But we read this in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 1 and 3, and it's about King David when he's getting towards the end of his life. But he reminds us in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 1 to 3, he says, "Now these are the last words of David, the oracle of David, the son of Jesse, the oracle of the man who was raised on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, the sweet psalmist of Israel." He's got a bit of an ego, hasn't he, what he's doing here? He says in verse 2, "The Spirit of the Lord speaks by me. His word is on my tongue. The God of Israel has spoken. The Rock of Israel has said to me." David was inspired to write things that were prophecies about the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. As I say, Psalm 22, those amazing words of David. David never experienced the things that he wrote about in Psalm 22, did he? Having his nails pierced, for instance. He was writing under the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit about the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. And here at Pentecost, as Peter preaches, he realizes the significance of what David has written. As Peter points out, these scriptures are about Jesus and not about David from Psalm 16, because David died and his bones were buried. We read in Acts chapter 2, verses 29 to 32. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead or Sheol, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of him. At Pentecost, Psalm 16 becomes a messianic psalm. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, preaches in the power of the Holy Spirit from the scriptures inspired by the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God takes the Word of God to do the work of God. And what was that work at Pentecost? We read in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, 3,000 souls were added to the new church. Amen. Yeah. Wow, Pentecost must have been phenomenal. It must have been incredible to be there and to hear Peter stand up and preach the gospel. The gospel, the good news about Jesus. The gospel, people say the gospel, you know, concealed in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, and now in the New Testament it is revealed. Everything becomes clear. It's all Jesus who they're talking about. All the prophets were writing about Jesus, the Messiah, because God has poured out his Holy Spirit. And, you know, as a side salad, you know, it's so important, isn't it, that we read and study the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, because we'll never gain a true understanding of the gospel if we don't focus on the Old Testament as well. It is all God's word. We must not neglect the reading and study of the Old Testament. As you continue to read through the book of Acts from Pentecost onwards, we see the amazing ministry of the Holy Spirit. Whenever somebody comes to me and we give them a Bible for the first time and they say, where do I start? You know, well, you don't start in Leviticus. No, Luke's gospel and then the book of Acts, because that is exciting stuff, isn't it? If you want to grip people reading the Bible, Luke's gospel and then straight into the book of Acts, it's like one continuous story, isn't it? Yeah. And when we read from the book of Acts, from Pentecost onwards, we see the amazing ministry of the Holy Spirit as he empowers the apostles to preach the glorious gospel. And we see the Holy Spirit through the apostles is taken to the Gentiles, isn't it? Yeah. As well as to the Jews. We see the conversion of the apostle Paul. And we see the Church of Jesus Christ grow and impact the societies where it is preached, because this is God's plan for the salvation of everyone who believes, the preaching of the gospel. And doesn't it thrill your soul to read of the way that God's plan of salvation for his church came together? The gospel went forth according to God's timetable. Why did God wait till, you know, 2,000 years ago to pour out his Spirit at Pentecost? It's God's timetable. He is sovereign. And God prepared everything down to the finest detail, the minutiae, for the pouring out, the coming of the Holy Spirit, just like he did for the birth and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, of course. This is because God is sovereign. God is in control, and nothing will thwart his plans. And today, 2,000 years after Pentecost, we're part of this great plan, aren't we? We're part of this great plan of God for the redemption, the salvation of his church. Do you find that exciting? Do you find that thrilling? Yeah. You know, if we as Christians cannot get enthusiastic, passionate and excited about the gospel, how can we expect lost people outside the building to get excited and passionate about the gospel? Have you heard of the church planting organisation, Acts 29? Heard of Acts 29? Yeah, some of you maybe, Acts 29. We're living in the days of Acts 29. You look at the book of Acts and there's actually 28 chapters in the book of Acts. But the work of the Holy Spirit in turning sinners into saints continues, doesn't it? Yeah? We're in the days of Acts 29 and we're living proof of that. Me and Bernie, we've been Christians 26 years this year, later on in the year. Praise God for the work of the Holy Spirit. Praise God for Pentecost. Well, there's just some simple thoughts about the significance of Pentecost and why it's so important. We remember it and we celebrate it. We teach our kids about it. We tell people about Pentecost, yeah. Because without Pentecost, there is no church. Maybe I've just shed a little bit more light on why we celebrate it. Pentecost is regarded as the birthday of the church. And for 2,000 years, the church has celebrated Pentecost. And we will continue to celebrate Pentecost until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Yeah? And God has his timetable. And one day Jesus will return because God always keeps his promises. You know, Pentecost is an example of that, isn't it? So in our churches over at Laburnum Road here at Odeby, you know, let's keep the main thing the main thing. And let's trust that God will pour out his Spirit in ever-increasing measure as people turn to Christ in repentance and faith, yeah? You had a sermon about prayer this morning, I believe. Yeah? We want God to pour out his Spirit. We want revival. We've got to be on our knees praying, haven't we, yeah? Yeah. We want to see lost people. We want to see this church full of people, yeah? We want to see people saved, experiencing the amazing, incredible life that we experience as God's people, as Christians. Yeah. And we're all involved in that. We're all involved.